Good morning, everybody. Welcome. Welcome to church. We've got some new faces and some people visiting us today, so I hope you feel very welcomed and you enjoy your morning here. It's good to be in the house of the Lord, isn't it? It's great to have you all here. I've just got some announcements to share with you, some community time, and I wanted to start by letting you know, we let you know last week that Steve Nelson, who's not necessarily a part of our church, but he is a part of our church in the wider sense, community dinner and always hanging around and helping us out. Steve passed away and his funeral will be on Friday at 10 a.m. at The Gathering, which is probably known to you as the Church on the Rise, I think it's previously been known. So Lanice said she's offered an invitation to anyone to attend that funeral time. Life groups. We've been encouraging people to get involved in life groups and things that are happening as part of this sermon series. Thank you, Judah. Sorry, missed the sermon series that we're in. We're doing a sermon series called Defiance, Challenge the Norm. And we're looking through the book of Mark. Part of that, there is a Bible reading plan that takes us through every week. And if you want a Bible reading plan that takes you through Mark, we've got a couple more in the foyer. Otherwise, we'll do some more copies, run some off. Life groups, we've had a few groups have started up in different areas. Thank you for pursuing that. And if you're still thinking, oh, I'd like to get involved in a small group through the week, something other than Sunday, I'd like to catch up with people, let me know afterwards and we'll see what's available. And if we've got people that are all around the same kind of place and you're interested, we could probably put another group together. I know it's been helpful for me to be in those life groups and having discussions. I hope it has for you, those of you who've been involved as well. Today, GSA, God's Sports Arena. So this is the first Sunday of the month, and so we'll be meeting again for God's Sports Arena here at 4:30. We've got a great guest speaker that's coming, and it'll be a great time as it always is. So you're welcome to attend there. It's church with a little bit of a difference, and you're most welcome to attend. Tomorrow night, I think there's some very excited people. It's our Flourish, again, meeting, and it's going to be a special Mother's Day high tea. And you don't even have to be a mother to be at the Mother's Day high tea, but you do have to be a lady. The cost for that is $5, and we'll take your money at the door, and it'll be a lovely high tea. It'll be a great time joined together, and a special guest that's going to be bringing some music and her story, so that will be great. I don't think, do we know that? Doesn't matter, I'll leave it. You'll find out tomorrow when you get. It's still a surprise. It's not me. It's not Jan. It's nobody that's here, so that'll be great. Red Shield Appeal is always exciting. It's changed in the way that we have to do things because of our change last year because of COVID. But for us, it's going to be pretty much the same as it has been for many years, and that we've got a number of static collection points. Now, if you are able to, as Tim said, if you're able to stand or sit, and if you're able to smile at people and say hello, that qualifies you to be a collector. That would be awesome. If you'd like to see James, he would love to put your name down on a roster. So Pelican Waters, Curramundi, Bunnings, Aldi, and out at Biwa as well. So there's places. So there's something around the corner from you to be involved in that. And it's a great opportunity for us to share hope, but also to raise funds for the Salvation Army's support services. Finally, two Saturdays' time, the very exciting event of Richard and Jess getting married is on. They'll be getting married here in the chapel, and Richard and Jess would love to invite you all to come along and to witness their wedding ceremony. So put that in your calendar, Saturday, May the 15th, 2:30 p.m. in the chapel. It's a very exciting time, and be praying for them between now and then. There's a lot to get planned and get organised, and a lot of nervous opportunities there, particularly for Richard. I was going to say particularly for Jess, but I think Richard's the more nervous type. Anyway, thank you. That's all the information I have for you. Thanks, James.
And so we turn our minds, our hearts, and our thoughts towards God as we worship this morning. And I want to read with some brief comments a call to worship from Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Bring your silence and your shouting as introverts and extroverts. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Bring your songs and your stories and your struggles and your sacrifices. Verse 3, know that the Lord is God. It is he that has made us and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. He designed us. He created us. He understands us. And he is intensely interested in us. And verse 4, the psalm is just a short psalm. Verse 4 of Psalm 100. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks and bless his name. Bring your gifts, bring your personality, bring your strengths, bring your weaknesses, but enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise.
As we remain standing, let us join in prayer. We thank you, God, for the opportunity to worship you today and to share fellowship with our church community. You are the God who formed us, the God who loves us, the God who knows us and leads us, the God who blesses and guides us and gives us grace for our journey. We honour you today, our Heavenly Father. You are most worthy of our praise. We are so grateful that you love us unconditionally. And as we focus upon you in worship and enjoy your presence, we find rest, strength, and peace to face the day. We include in our prayers today all those who are suffering around the world. Especially we think of India and Papua New Guinea. You are the great healer and source of peace. May the hearts of those nations turn to you. Holy Spirit, change and renew us day by day. We want every part of us to be transformed by the Holy Spirit's presence and power so that everyone we meet will know that we are Jesus followers. Lord, we want to live like Jesus Christ in our words, in our thoughts, and in our deeds. Please help us. And help us each day to listen for your still small voice, which brings conviction, encouragement, comfort, guidance, and blessing. Holy Spirit, we praise you. Purify our hearts. God, you are holy. We want to be holy too. And as we continue in worship this morning, help us to draw closer to you and receive a fresh touch of the Spirit on our heart and our mind. Thank you, God. Amen. Please be seated. And as you're seated, we welcome the kids to come.
When we come together in worship and gather as the children of God, the people of God, there is always an opportunity to give in an offering. And that opportunity is given now. But if you're a visitor, don't feel obliged to give. But we give as to the Lord this morning, our tithes and our offerings. And as we give today, we're going to watch and listen to a song called It's About the Cross. After that, we have chat in the chapel. And after that, the scripture reading and then a song. And then I'll be back to share the word of God, the tithes and offerings, and listen to the song, It's About the Cross.
It's not just about the manger where the baby lay. It's not all about the angels who sang for him that day. It's not all about the shepherds on the bright and shining star. It's not all about the wise men who traveled from afar. It's about the cross. It's about my sin. It's about how Jesus came to be born once so that we could be born again. It's about the stone that was rolled away so that you and I could have real life someday. It's about the cross. It's not just about the good things in this life I've done. It's not all about the treasures or the trophies that I've won. It's not about the righteousness that I find within. It's all about His precious blood that saved me from my sin. It's about the cross. It's about my sin. It's about how Jesus came to be born once so that we could be born again. It's about the stone that was rolled away so that you and I could have real life someday. It's about the cross. The beginning of the story is wonderful and great, but it's the ending that can save you, and that's why we about the cross. It's about my sin. It's about how Jesus came to be born once so that we could be born again. It's about God's Son nailed to a tree. It's about how every drop of blood that flowed from Him when it should have been me. It's about the
up without me welcoming you. That's great. Come on up. Come on, everybody. Welcome Andrew Harkins. So we're just going to have a little chat. You can listen in if you want. I would encourage you to do that. That sounded much funnier in my head. Anyway, Andrew, we're going to have a chat in the chapel today. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Yeah, that's very good. Now, I've seen you brought your cheer squad with you today.
I've got my family here and friends.
Oh, that's lovely. Good. Welcome, guys. I think it was your dad who said he wanted to know where your uniform was. Does he know how it works? No, just it's all right. Maybe. Who knows?
You never know.
Yeah. Well, we won't run ahead of ourselves. So, Andrew, did you grow up in a Christian church, in a Christian environment?
I did. I grew up in the Catholic Church down in Melbourne. I grew up, and we came here when I was 14.
Yeah. So when we were talking before, you said there was a certain stage where you decided that you didn't want to go to church anymore. What happened with that? Like when you were younger, I mean.
Yeah, I suppose, you know, teenager, and I just didn't really enjoy church. And my father said to us, it's up to you if you want to go or not. And yeah, I just made the decision not to go.
You and your two sisters?
Yes.
Yeah. So when you stopped going to church, like 14, 15, something like that, what did you think of God then? What was your understanding or your experience of who God was?
To be quite honest, I can't answer that. I really don't know. But you know, I saw a lot of things going on in the world and just wondered, how is there a God, you know, with such terrible things that could happen in the world.
Yeah. So you continued to live at home. Eventually you moved out.
Yes, I did. I moved out when I was 18, but was pretty much back there after about 6 months.
And you gave it a second shot.
I did, yes.
And how was life at that stage?
You know, life was pretty good. I was young. I was in my early 20s, late teens, and just out having a good time, pretty much. And that's all I cared about, was just having a good time.
Yeah. And you've said that for that first part of your working life, you went through, like, you're in a job a year or two, then you moved through. What's some of the sort of stuff you've done?
I've done all sorts of things. Greenkeeping, handyman, I've been a real estate agent, been a dishwasher, done all sorts of different things.
And for a while you worked on Hamilton Island, how was that?
Yeah, that was great. I worked on Hamilton Island and on Lindeman Island, and I loved it, so yeah.
But there is one part of your life that was sort of maybe something you weren't particularly happy with, that was sort of hanging around in the background. Well, can you just share a little bit about that?
That was alcohol. As I got older, my alcoholism progressed, and I just became reliant on alcohol just to be able to do anything, really.
At what stage did you decide, I'm not going to do this anymore, I'm over this? Or did you always think that?
I knew that I had a problem, but I didn't think it was that bad because I still worked and I still had a roof over my head and all that sort of stuff. But a lot of bad things were happening in my life. And it was about 4 years ago when I decided to change my life.
Yep. And so you went to AA, is that how it worked?
Yeah, that's correct.
And did that overnight success? Or?
No, it's been a journey and it hasn't been easy, and I've stumbled here and there. But for 99% of the time I've been sober, so it's been great.
Yeah, very good. Now, I think, that is good. Well done. You had a second go at it, though, like after the first go. Like 2018, was it? You went and really maybe were a bit more serious or more committed. Do you know what the difference was? Or do you just think sometimes it just, as you say, it's a journey?
Well, the second time I decided to get my higher power, which is Jesus Christ and our Father, and it's made a hell of a difference, you know. It's made staying sober a lot easier, that's for sure.
Yeah, so let's talk about that. That's great. That is so good. I mean, that's why you're here today. That's why we're having this conversation. So can you think of the moment when you encountered Jesus, like as an adult, like in a real way?
In a real way, probably I was with another fellow AA member and I went to his house and he did a prayer for me, and just something happened on the drive home. I just started getting tears coming down my face, and I knew there was something there then, you know. I knew that, that was God working.
Right. But not really necessarily fully understanding what was going on. Like, that's pretty weird, isn't it? Like, someone prays for you and you start crying. I mean, that's an encounter, but it's hard to get your head around that, I guess, a little bit.
Yeah, it was. And I still didn't come to church. And I suppose it was about 6 months ago or something we worked out that I started coming back to church. And that's when I really embraced Jesus and our Father.
So between when you say when you were 14 and most recently, had you been back to church at all? Had you given it much thought?
I think I'd been on the odd Christmas or Easter only a couple of times, right. And that was it.
So what... what went on in your head to say, hey, look, I think I need to go to church?
You know, I was sort of struggling with my higher power, I suppose, and what it was. And you know, growing up in the Catholic Church, I knew of God and Jesus. It's hard to explain. It really is. But, I just got myself back here and I've embraced it ever since.
So what was your first experience? I think we were meeting out in the Mission Centre out the back. We were transitioning back into this space. What was your first experience of a worship service with other Christians without any agenda, say?
I really loved it, and I remember when we got up to sing the first song and the tears just started coming down my eyes again, out of my eyes again, and yeah, I knew I was in the right place. Yeah.
That's awesome. That's great. Now, this is a tricky question, can you think of that moment when you went, yeah, I'm for Jesus now? Like, was there a moment, or has it just sort of been a...
Yeah, it was probably after about the second service, pretty much. And then I came to a breakfast that we had here, a men's breakfast, and I really enjoyed it, and I just knew I was in the right place. I just felt it. It's hard to explain.
Well, it is, but, I mean, I think everybody who knows Andrew and has got to know Andrew, and if you haven't, you really should, you can really see that there's something about him that he's experienced something. And you said to me, I think it was something about the guy who invited you along, your sponsor, something about him that encouraged you to come in the first place, something about how he expressed himself.
Oh, gee, I can't remember what I said to you now.
Well, really, who he is because of who Jesus is for him, like the sort of like the way that he lives his life out. Like,
yeah, just the work he does helping other people, and just his whole calmness and how he handles situations, and yeah, it just inspired me, I suppose.
Well, let me put it this way, because this is what you did say to me. What is different about you now, because you probably know you best, to the way you were, say, even 12 months ago? How is your life different in the way that you present yourself or the way that you experience life?
Well, you know, when I was practicing drinking alcohol, it was all about me and myself, and now I've got more time for other people and more love, and you know, I just see the beauty in life now that I never did.
What about the joy factor?
Yeah, well, I find myself driving to work singing all the time now, which I never used to do. You know? I've got a lot more joy in my life, that's for sure.
Yeah, and that is so awesome. So, I didn't ask you this before, but think about it now. Where to next? What do you think God's got for you next?
Well, that's up to God, really. I'm not too sure, but, you know, I like being involved with the Salvation Army and helping out, and I'm just going to continue to do that sort of stuff and see where it goes from there. But, it's up to him.
So Andrew's, he's been working in his current role as a supervisor in like Parks and Gardens, contracting type situation, but his work's going to run out in June because the guy who owns the business is going to sell it. And you were telling me that previously you were very worried about that scenario, but now not so much. What do you think that is?
Yeah, I remember when we first got the contract, and it was a 5-year contract, the first one, and I thought I was worrying about what I was going to do in 5 years. And now I have that faith. I'm not worried about what's going to happen in June. I know it's all going to work out. And you know, that's thanks to the grace of God and the 12 steps of AA.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's really good. I'm going to pray for you now, Andrew, and then if you'd like to join me in thanking Andrew for the difference that he's made in your life. I mean, this is stuff that you're expressing. I'm not putting words in your mouth. Joy that you didn't have before, a sense of freedom that you didn't have before, a lack of worry that maybe does consume us from time to time, you're able to let that stuff down. And I know there's so much more to your story than that. That's just a snapshot. So as I said, take some time to get to know this guy and hear the full story of how he's experienced Jesus and the difference that he's made. But we'll pray for you now, hey? Is that okay? Father God, I thank you for Andrew. I thank you that all the while that you have been calling him, ever since he was a child, you had your eye on him, looking after him, keeping him in under the shadow of your wing. And I thank you that in recent days he has discovered that to be true, that all this time you've been calling out to him, and he has, now that he has heard your voice and is starting to turn to you and realize how much he is loved by you, how much he is accepted by you, and to start to understand all the things that you have for him. So Lord, I thank you for saving him. I thank you for your revelation to him of who you are, how he now has love and joy in his life, maybe in a way that he didn't have before, the way that he's able to let go of some of that stuff that has been holding on to him all his life. Lord, we give you all the glory for that. And as Andrew said, it's because of your grace. It's because of your grace, Lord. And we thank you for that. We praise you in Jesus' name. I'd like to join me in thanking Andrew today.
Our reading this morning comes from the New Living Translation and reading from Mark chapter 7 verses 1 through to 23. And it's entitled, Jesus Teaches About Inner Purity. One day some Pharisees and teachers of religious law arrived from Jerusalem to see Jesus. They noticed that some of his disciples failed to follow the Jewish ritual of hand washing before eating. The Jews, especially the Pharisees, did not eat until they had poured water over their cupped hands, as required by their ancient traditions. Similarly, they didn't eat anything from the market until they immersed their hands in water. This is but one of the many traditions they have clung to, such as their ceremonial washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles. So the Pharisees and teachers of religious law asked him, why don't your disciples follow our age-old tradition? They eat without first performing the hand-washing ceremony. And Jesus replied, you hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you as he wrote, these people honour me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship is a farce, for they teach man-made ideas as commands from God. For you ignore God's law and substitute your own tradition. Then he said, you skillfully sidestep God's law in order to hold on to your own tradition. For instance, Moses gave you this law from God, honour your father and mother, and anyone who speaks disrespectfully of father or mother must be put to death. But you say it's all right for people to say to their parents, sorry, I can't help you, for I have vowed to give to God what I would have given to you. In this way, you let them disregard their needy parents. And so you cancel the word of God in order to hand down your own tradition. And this is only one example among many others. Then Jesus called to the crowd to come and hear. All of you listen, he said, and try to understand. It's not what goes into your body that defiles you. You are defiled by what comes from your heart. Then Jesus went into a house to get away from the crowd, and his disciples asked him what he meant by the parable he had just used. Don't you understand either, he asked. Can't you see that the food you put into your body can't defile you? Food doesn't go into your heart, but only passes through your stomach and then goes into the sewer. By saying this, he declared that every kind of food is acceptable in God's eyes. And then he added, it is what comes from inside you that defiles you. For from within, out of a person's heart, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, wickedness, deceit, lustful desires, envy, slander, pride and foolishness. All these vile things come from within. They are what defile you.
This next song that we're going to sing has some gentle advice for us on how to maintain the joy and the peace that Andrew was really talking about when he spoke about what happens. And if you've been on the journey for a while, sometimes you can forget what your first love was. You can forget what it was like at the beginning. But this song is full of some advice. Take time to be holy. Speak off with the Lord. Take time to be holy, the world rushes on. Spend much time in secret.
Most of you that know Jan and I know that we have two married daughters, and each of them have two children, so we have four grandchildren. And the week after Easter, we went to Port Macquarie for a few days with our family from Sydney and our two grandchildren, Ellie and Isaac. And one day of our holiday together, we went to sit down at the table, and Alison, our daughter, said to Isaac, have you washed your hands? Now, Isaac's 8 years old. And he looked up at his mother, and he sheepishly said, yes. And she said, show me. And then she said, They don't smell like they have been washed with soap. Go and wash your hands. Now, I thought about that because Jan sometimes says to me, have you washed your hands? And I was going to give you a demonstration of how I respond to her, but I thought I'll keep that in private and not embarrass her this morning. I don't know whether that's because it comes from growing up and having parents always say to us, have you washed your hands? Have you washed your hands? In the gospel today that Bill just read, we hear about the washing of hands. But the story is not about personal hygiene. Indeed, quite the opposite. It's not about personal hygiene. Because the washing of hands in the context of this scripture was a ritual washing. And Jesus had no time for oral tradition that had developed in Judaism and filled in the missing gaps from the law given by Moses and made by man, made up by man because of what they saw as the gaps in tradition. But for disregarding the tradition, Jesus was in trouble. For undermining it, he was regarded as a threat. And for rejecting the tradition, he was spiritually inciting rebellion. And so the story of Mark's gospel today is one of conflict between Jesus and religious leaders. So what can we learn today from this story? What can we learn? Firstly, Jesus did not give in when accusations were thrown at him. Perhaps that's where the title about defiance comes from. He's challenged because his disciples failed to follow an oral tradition that the Pharisees thought was essential. But in Jesus' eyes, they were hypocrites. Indeed, he calls them hypocrites. Now, I don't know whether anybody's ever said to you, you're a hypocrite. Some are nodding. Some are hesitant. Someone ever called you a hypocrite? Now, yes, I've been called a hypocrite somewhere along the way. And many people outside the church sometimes make an excuse for not going to church because of all the hypocrites. So in their eyes, we're all hypocrites. But I remember years ago reading this, Christians are not perfect, just forgiven. And something else I read, church is a hospital for sinners. And both of those statements are true. But Jesus says, you hypocrites. And in verse 7, he says, it is useless for you to worship me when you teach rules made up by humans. Hence the choice of the song this morning, I'm coming back to the heart of worship. It's all about you, Jesus. It's all about you. Jesus challenges keeping up appearances by outwardly following tradition that doesn't match up with the way you live. Tradition that doesn't match up with the way you live. And the church, including the Salvation Army, needs to be alert because it's very easy to major on the minor and trivial issues and overlook the most important. And the most important thing is our relationship with God and our life that flows out of that relationship with God. I remember many years ago, I am getting on, so I can remember many years ago, but, well, it was certainly early on. My first appointment as a Salvation Army officer was to Tenterfield. And for those of you who remember him, he's still alive, but Major Ian Cutmore was what we call the Territorial Youth Secretary. And we were going from Tenterfield to Inverell for what we used to have in those days called youth councils or youth events for a weekend. And I heard that his theme for the weekend was love God and do what you like. And I was quite taken back by that. Love God and do what you like. But you stop to think about it. If you truly love God, it makes so much of a difference as to how you live. How you live. Love God, yes. And then you can do what you like, because what you like will be what God wants. Think about some of the contentious issues when we think about majoring on the minor. You know what I thought about? Salvation Army uniform. I did. And I nearly didn't wear it today. When I was getting dressed, I thought, I'm going to go in civilian dress today. I thought about it. But it's easy, and I think in the Salvation Army there are many areas where we have majored on the minors, like uniform and correct uniform wearing, etc. But I'm reminded of what is recorded in 1 Samuel 16:7. The Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance. God looks at the heart." And we wonder, or I do, if Jesus might not have a few words for us, Salvation Army. It's easy to put on an impressive outward show, and we think we may fool others, but we don't fool God. And Jesus actually opposed outward show. So what are our priorities? What are our priorities? Now that song that we just sang is an old song. An old song. We call it an old one. It was written in 1800 and something, I read. 1820s, probably, 30s. What are our priorities? Do they bring us closer to God, our priorities? In other words, how we spend our time. Does it bring us closer to God? And then in turn, we share a heart that cares for a broken world. Take time to be holy. Is that our priority? These are old words, but they speak to us today. Feed on his word. Help those who are weak. Is that our priority? Spend much time in secret with Jesus. Let him be your guide. No matter what happens, that's my interpretation of verse 3, in joy or in sorrow, still follow the Lord. Be calm. Verse 4, be calm. Take time to be holy. What are our priorities? Or, on the other hand, is our priority to maintain structures and rules that put on a good show? And I'll refrain from commenting further. Salvation Army. Putting on a good show, maintaining structures and rules. None of those give pleasure to God. And so Jesus says here in our reading today, you've let go of the commands of God and hold on to human traditions. Verse 8, and in verse 9 he continued, you have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions. And Jesus is trying to get them to understand that in a battle to keep human traditions and God's commandments, God loses. God loses. And showing up this point in our reading today, Jesus refers to the Ten Commandments, which says you should honour your father and mother, honour your parents, and especially when they are elderly and with ailing health. But the background, the context of this scripture is some people took money that should have been used to assist their parents and dishonestly donated it to religious work. That's the context of what Jesus is saying here this morning. And Jesus challenged the Pharisees, whatever way you want to put it, because they used traditions to negate the commands of God. So do we keep traditions and practices in order to avoid the gospel and the commands of God? Churches have been criticised for being a religious club and caring for only their own. And that's been a tension all down through the years. Does the church exist for those in it or those outside? I've been criticised in my years of leadership in the church for that. You spend too much time with the people outside. I think churches that have spent too much time with the people inside, where are they now? And Jesus calls us to a tough choice between the unhealthy traditional culture that strangles spiritual life and a more radical kind of church that is released to go and share in God's mission and be faithful to the gospel, and that's the way to go. And that's the church I want to belong to. So I'll stay here for now. Is that all right? You too, because we've got a great church. We have. Jesus, in his story, has his interaction with the scribes and Pharisees where he answered their charge and countered it with his own allegations. Now, what does he do then? Go to verse 14 if you're following. What does he do? He calls the crowd together, verse 14, and rather than get bogged down about practices and procedures, he takes the opportunity. Look at verse 14. Again, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen to me, everyone, and understand this." Another translation says he takes the opportunity to teach those who are listening. We need to listen. Jesus says it's not failing to wash your hands or whether food is clean or unclean that makes you spiritually unclean. They are outward signs, he says. So I don't have to wash my hands, all right? Not according to Jesus. What Jesus says here is this: what matters is the heart. What matters is the heart. Listen to what Jesus says, and I'm reading from the Contemporary English Version. What comes from your heart, Jesus says, is what makes you unclean. Verse 20. Out of your heart comes evil thoughts, vulgar deeds, stealing, murder, unfaithfulness in marriage, greed, meanness, deceit, indecency, envy, insults, pride, and foolishness. All these come from the heart. And he says, they are what make you unfit to worship God. And then he goes on. It's what comes from inside that defiles you. You see, material purity isn't the issue. Moral purity is. It's right through the scriptures. It doesn't seem to have been obvious to the religious leaders. You can keep all the religious rules you like. Unless your heart is in it, it means nothing. Unless your heart is given to it, it means nothing. Our inner heart and the health of our heart before God, the cleanness of our heart before God is what matters. And living that holy life is a priority. Rather than worrying about the rules of our denomination or putting on a good religious show. And let me say, as I move towards the close, it's not about just the big issues which Jesus refers to here. But what about the envy, the slander, the pride, the foolishness? What about them? We all are sinners and fall short. Now, I titled this message, Keeping Up Appearances, and I asked Mrs. Bouquet to come, but she wasn't available to join us this morning, or Mrs. Bucket, as I call her. Hyacinth. Keeping Up Appearances. It's funny, but it's sad. It's sad. You see, Jesus calls us to live a holy life, a humble life, and to go and make disciples of all people. And more than ever, we live in a world where people need hope, people need freedom, people need Christ, and they need us. They need us. Not a list of rules and being dressed the right way. And we all need heart surgery. Spiritual heart surgery to make sure our heart is pure before God so that what comes out from the heart is Jesus. What comes out from the heart is Jesus. And so I ask you this morning, how's your heart? How's your heart? I chose that song, It's About the Cross, for the words. Because on that cross, Jesus gave his life and his blood flowed from his body. What for? To cleanse the heart, to purify the heart. How's your heart this morning? Is it clean? Has it been washed? Your heart, your heart. In Psalm 139, David prayed, search me, O God, and know my heart. Know my heart. I pray that this morning. Will you pray it with me? Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for everything that has happened here in church today. We thank you for Andrew's sharing, for songs, for your word, for worship, for the giving. But in these moments, come to us individually by your Holy Spirit, for we examine our heart. We search our heart before you, O God. Is it clean? Or are we struggling? Is there a blockage? Is there a weakness? We come to you this morning. We come to you this morning and ask you to purify our hearts, to cleanse our hearts, that Jesus may come from our heart, the centre of our being, to others. For that is what you've called us to. That is what you've called us to. So purify our hearts is our prayer. In these moments of prayer and response this morning, we ask that. We ask it for each of us. In the words of the psalmist, give us clean hands and a pure heart. I'm going to ask Derek and Karen and the musicians just to sing this through once before we sing it. And the song is, Purify My Heart. Purify My Heart. I thought about this, I looked over this song again this morning. Purify my heart. Let me be as gold, refine as fire. My heart's one desire is to be holy. Just the first verse in the chorus before I just share further with you for a closing moment together. Now we have visitors here this morning and we have those who are regular, but I just want to explain what we're going to do now. Normally at this point we give an opportunity for people to come, and this space here in the corner is set aside. There is no accident, the cross is there. No accident. It's about the cross. That's what the Ball Brothers sang, it's about the cross. And there's a table there. You can come and kneel at that table. There's some special seats there. You can come and kneel there. You can come and stand there. But I simply say to you, how's your heart this morning? Is it clean or does it need washing? Are you struggling? Is there a weakness? Is there a blockage? And in that song, it's about the cross. It talked about being born again. Have you been born again? You can come and pray. Stand, kneel. Someone will pray with you, but only if you want that. But we're going to sing this song together. And I give that invitation this morning to stand up, walk forward, and use this place that has just been set aside for moments like this, if time and prayer. And I've asked two people to be available to pray with you this morning. I've asked Beth Nilsson to come forward and be ready to pray, and I've asked Paul Best to come and be ready to pray with people if you need it. All right? If you need them to pray with you, they'll be there. Just come and ask them. Now, some of you, this may be new to you. It was new to me the first time I ever went to the Salvation Army. Never heard of it, never seen it. But I went forward, and I've never regretted it. So don't be afraid. I'm asking nothing more than for you to come and seek the cleansing of your heart, or to give over to God a struggle or a weakness, or ask the Lord to take away a blockage. Or if you want to say to God this morning, I need to be born again. I'm struggling. Give me a new life. God, give me a new life. Here this morning, as we sing the song through, let people come this morning and be prayed for, or just simply pray yourself. Take this opportunity just for a couple of minutes as we sing together. And if Paul and Beth would come and stand and be ready to pray with people. And anyone who needs to come this morning, come as we sing together. Purify my heart. We'll go back and we'll sing the first verse through.
Purify my heart.
take this opportunity to come this morning. People are just kneeling in prayer by themselves, and that's fine. And people are being prayed for. But is this for you this morning? Is this God's moment for you this morning? Don't go out and be disappointed. Take what God offers to you now. He knows your heart. He loves you incredibly. Stand and sing the second verse together. There is still time this morning for you to come and pray and seek the Lord.
Purify my heart.
Ready to do your will. Send us out into the world with love in our hearts. Send us out into the world with Christ at the centre of our heart. Give us clean hands and a pure heart before you, O God. Thank you for these moments of prayer this morning. Thank you for those who've responded. Bless them and bless those who haven't. Too, I pray in your name. Amen. Our final song is This Is My Desire to Honour You. I didn't draw this to your attention, but I think every song we've sung this morning refers to the heart. and a great way to conclude our worship. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. Lord, have your way in me. This final song together, then benediction, and don't forget to join us for morning tea if you are able. Thank you. Final song together. Again for joining with us this morning, the benediction. So as we go from this place, O God, give me a heart that is free to love you, you who are love itself. Give me a heart free of self-absorption that I may know and love Christ in every person I meet. Give me a heart brimming with joy and peace that remains firmly rooted in you no matter what my circumstances. Give me a heart free of doubt, doubt in you, doubt in myself, doubt in others. Give me a heart that can be moulded and lovingly shaped like clay in the potter's hand. God, give me a heart that breaks with yours at the suffering of others and the hurt that seems to permeate our world. God, give me a heart that can stretch and expand to welcome and nurture the lonely, the hurting, the weak. God, hide me in your heart. Give me a heart like yours. Amen. Thank you. Amen.